Blog Talk Radio.
Called the Montauk Boys, who Stuart Swerdlow was one, supposedly, and he's been on Coast to Coast AM a lot and other radio shows I've listened to, and he reports that he was involved in mind control experiments. He even saw aliens. He knows about the time travel, like the you know, the Philadelphia experiment and everything. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, and you know, tell them where Montauk is.
Where it is?
Yeah,
it's an island off the coast of Jersey, is it not?
Yeah.
There's a military base, a scientific.
That's all it is.
Scientific base. Yeah, I mean, there's a scientific base, a military base, apparently, that's. I certainly don't know how, you know, if it's a civilian camp or if it's military. They claim it to be military, so. But I the government, does the government even officially claim it?
Right.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Does the government officially claim it? I wonder. I've never really heard them ever speak of it. Do they claim it?
I don't really think they do.
So it's just kind of like an Area 51. It just doesn't really exist.
Supposedly it's an animal research facility.
Animal research. That sounds an awful lot like, you know, when they carve cows up in the fields and, you know, when they rip their faces and some of their organs out. Wow. An animal research facility. Is it private or is it government?
I believe it's government.
Yeah, that's the belief, yeah. But I'm not sure it's claimed. I think it's claimed to be a private facility that does scientific research and things in an effort, in working with the government, you know, kind of like a contractor. But as far as being an actual government facility, I've never heard the government speak of it. But certainly some of these super soldiers and those familiar with it definitely say that's what it is. They talk as if it's like a modern day Isle of Moreau.
Yeah.
You know, with a whole lot of X-Files thrown in there. I mean, it's just pretty, and from what I understand, it's very heavily guarded. You can't get on or off the aisle without, you know, using their means of travel. There's no way that you're going to, as a civilian, just drive up or, you know, get to it without their permission, which kind of makes it feel a little bit like a government facility as well. So, just thought I'd add that.
Exactly.
So tell us, we only got 25 minutes here. I know it's a lot to ask of you, but what do you know about this place? What's going on? Tell us some stories about it.
Well, I mean, supposedly they have aliens working alongside humans, doing experiments on humans and animals and aliens and humans. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I really don't know. I mean, there was those pictures of the Montauk monster that washed up a few years ago, and that was quite popular. You know, everybody was checking
well,
that out.
One of the things I've heard about it is that it is a top secret research facility run and controlled by DARPA.
What is DARPA?
Well, DARPA is, I forget what it stands for right off the bat. It's a defensive contractor agency for the United States government.
Yeah.
It's an anagram for something, DARPA. But it's a top secret research facility ran and guarded by our government. And there's so much going on there, including the development and test flight and inner workings of these Aurora and Astral and other type triangular craft that we are said to be using, or at the very least testing, along with, you know, Area 51 and what everybody sees there, but that they're developing the technology of time travel is one of the things that they're supposedly involved in, too. So,
right. That kind of goes along with the supposed Project Pegasus that Andrew Bishago talks about, and that he warped to Mars, and there was a base, and there were people there. Supposedly Barack Obama was even there, was one of them too.
Now,
and
when did this Andrew Bishago, his story sounds familiar, but how was he young when they did this? Like, was he like a teenager
and
living at home?
Supposedly, he jumped in time, and lived the year 1972 twice. Okay.
Oh yeah. Okay. There's another gentleman. I wish I could remember his name. That has come forward. He's been, I guess, the last 10, 11 years telling his story. And I just don't. I'm terrible with names. I didn't write it down, but basically, he says one night in his, I think it was in Florida, Miami, Florida, or Florida somewhere where he grew up, and he was 17. One night he goes to bed, he wakes up, there's a very bright light coming. It's on the wall, it's almost like a door had opened up, and through the light came two men dressed in black. And they took him through the light. He ended up in what he only described as an underground facility. The Lord only knows where. He wasn't sure where. And quickly he was sort of just told briefly what was going on. Apparently he had been chosen as one of these super soldiers. 1987. And he was whisked aboard one of these Aurora-type triangular triangular ships, and was taken quickly to the moon, where he witnessed buildings and domes and a working laboratory and base that we had supposedly built there. Where he was taken, once he got to the moon, he was taken aboard another of the Aurora-type ships, the triangular-type ones, and quickly whisked away to Mars, where he was taken to the next base, where he actually was briefed, and they told him about his upcoming assignment. He was going to be with them for the next 20 years, helping fight some sort of intergalactic war, okay, whatever. Anyway, the guy has been given many a polygraph test. He's passed every one of them, every time. The details to his story has not changed one iota the last 10, 11 years since he's come forward. But he went on to say, after it had all happened, after 20 years had went by, he was brought back to Earth, but only to be whisked away back into a 17-year-old body, and to awaken the next morning with all memory of 20 years on Mars, Moon, and God only knows where. All of the memories were gone. And it's only been in the last 10, 11 years that his memories have started to return. And apparently they have also found tracking devices buried in his skin, a few other things. Well, he's come forward.
Oh, yeah.
He's come forward to talk about what he can remember as far as what he experienced. And it's almost like it, you know, more and more comes back to him every day. And this description is what he says happened, what was going on in the base, is this and that, has been echoed by many different people around the continent, around the United States, many different people, none of whom have a clue as to who each other are, apparently, and the details are the same every time. Large dome base-like objects on the moon that's fully staffed and functional, you know, alongside buildings that are several stories high, maybe in the hundreds of stories high. So. But what's going on?
That's not counting the ancient ruins that are there.
No. I don't think so. These are just right as you get to the dark side of the moon. It's right on the other side of the moon. Apparently, though, on the moon, there are many objects that are not on the dark side that are of a more ancient reality that were built many years ago. You know, you find, it's almost as if a war happened there. You find broken glass, destroyed buildings, apparently. So, and this has been, you know, talked about, not just with the astronauts describing it as well. So, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been there.
What do you think about the Apollo 20?
It's supposed to be fake. It didn't happen. Didn't they stop after 17? Now, I know they had missions planned. Well, I know that they had other missions planned after Apollo, 17? What was the last one officially? Was it 17?
17, you're right.
Yeah, right. There was others planned, a few more, but I didn't know that they had set them up until I had read about it. And
for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, I suggest that you look up Aliens Are From Hell on YouTube. Just Google it on YouTube.
and it's well worth watching. It'll explain all about the ship that they found, that it's over a mile wide. It looks like one of those ships, the aircraft in the Egyptian temple of Abydos, if you know what I'm talking
okay.
about.
Okay. I do, but I want you to go ahead and tell us.
Well, in Abydos, there are these hieroglyphs of what look like to be airships and, you know, cigar-shaped, flying saucer-shaped, even submarines, an Apache
helicopter. Yeah, helicopter shape. You have other aerodynamically shaped vehicles as well. But the thing about the helicopter... Yeah, the thing about the helicopter is it looks just like... There's no way that could be anything but a helicopter. An Apache type is that. And, you know, other hieroglyphs that would definitely be of a ship-type nature, not the boats the Egyptians were used to using either. We're talking advanced flying technology that they somehow had knowledge of, apparently, even though they may have not known exactly what it was or how to fly it themselves. They did not recognize these objects as being anything that they were familiar with.
And supposedly they recovered several EBEs or extraterrestrial biological entities.
Yes.
And they had all these clothes on, like you know, like the circuit boards sewn in fabric of their clothes that controlled aspects of the ship. And the ship is supposedly over a million years old, 1.5 million to be precise, supposedly. I'm sure, but...
Well, I've already seen it up there. I just don't know how they're going to know exactly what the age of the ship is when they haven't done any sort of testing on it officially. And I've seen these images. It looks like a giant cigar-shaped... It's not natural. Whatever's there, it doesn't blend in well with the scenery around it. It's nothing natural or from a, you know, it's very unnatural. It looks to have been built by some sort of intelligence. And it's definitely cigar-shaped, though, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, you can see the meteor impacts, you know, over the years have accumulated in the ship. It was also a scene of catastrophe. The co-pilot's head was severed, was laying next to its body. There were an individual that was intact, and she seemed to have, like, the electrical devices attached to her face, through her eyes, nose,
yeah,
lip, mouth, everything, to control supposedly the
ship. Right. They used mental imaging and psychic, I guess, telekinetic type ability that was picked up from the devices in the ship itself and allowed them to fly it.
Exactly.
Which is definitely advanced technology, especially today. I mean, I think we're starting to kind of scratch the precipice of that type of technology, but it's not widely used yet, as everyone knows. So if that was the case, that it had that type of technology on it, then it's definitely old. And some type of technology that was used way before our current civilization's history, humanity's story, civilized story began, you know.
But supposedly on that ship, there was some kind of freak out that
that several people got killed.
Yeah, well, was it a freak out of the ship, or was it not war itself? Weren't they supposedly in the middle of a war at the time?
Right, right. And there were strange calligraphy found on this yellow type of paper that is, you can tell, I mean, it's really old. I mean, because that's the old style paper they had, you know, yellow colors and green colors on the old kind of paper. And it was written out. You could tell there were dates and signatures. And oh, we have a caller. Let's see. You want to introduce the caller?
Well, caller, welcome to the show. Who am I speaking with? Hello?
Hello? Can you hear us? Okay, they dropped. I don't know what happened. Go ahead and call back in if you would. We got a little time. We'll field some questions. So what we were talking about, a little bit of everything. Oh, well, all right. I guess the co-host got booted. Call back in. That's all I can say. We were talking about Apollo 20, the ship on the moon, and how it is bigger than a city, bigger than Manhattan, for instance, which is about a mile, which is pretty big distance. I mean, that's a big ship. And it looked like a cigar-shaped ship that has been reported in history so many times by the ancient. By the ancient Indians and everything. I mean, I don't know, but anyway, caller, are you there? Okay. We seem to be having all kinds of problems here tonight. I don't know. It's raining where I'm at. So, I don't know. It may be raining where you are. I don't know, too. But, we were talking about I want to talk about the Manas. The Manas are the ancient Indian flying ships of the Mahabharata. The Vedic text of ancient India, and those are really history to the Indian people. We would call them mythology because they deal with gods and you know, flying vimanas, spaceships, and nuclear type weapons. And I mean, supposedly there are several cities over in India right now that are radioactive, Mohenjo-Daro, that supposedly been blown up by nuclear weapons, and that's pretty much verifiable. They found fused stone, glass, just like at the Los Alamos explosions that USA, of course, conducted. And the only way you get that kind of glass is by nuclear fission. So, I mean, Vimanas. We were talking about how they were portrayed. They're also portrayed in India in their temple building. A lot of their temples look like space capsules. And Vimanas is what they call them. And they do call them Vimanas still. It's pretty cool. So if you want to, if anybody wants to call in, the call-in number is 619-924-0903.
1-800-273-0505. And please call in. We do have a caller. I don't know if you want to say anything. Speak up. So I don't know. It's just kind of weird things going on tonight. We have 4 minutes and 20 seconds left in the show. I'm going to play a little bit. And I'll be right back. Heard those supposed recording of the recordings and the sounds that those emit, I would urge you to check this out. I just want to let you know, thanks for listening, and until next time, this is Mr. Lex O'Kep saying, yeah. Thank you. Good night.